I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. Tiki and Tierney coming from the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com as we obviously rolling with football the rest of the way. What's good? No TV the rest of the hour, so if you are planning on watching us on CBS Sports Network, part of your daily routine, they've got a basketball game there. So Teague and I are rolling with the radio exclusively the final hour. Hopefully everybody's awesome. You want to jump in on Twitter at Teague and Tierney. Divisional round action, Rams-Packers, Lambeau first game. Packers almost a touchdown favorite. The weather, not bad, 36 degrees, cloudy, could be some wind gusts, but it's not going to be the tundra that it could be. The Ravens and the Bills up in Buffalo, that's the night game, obviously. Weather, again, somewhat forgiving, 33 degrees at the kick, could get a little flurry at times, but not terrible. Buffalo, 2.5-point favorites. Browns, Chiefs, Arrowhead is going to be fine on Sunday, 3:05 Eastern, CBS, partly sunny, low 40s, and Bucks and the Saints are at a dome. You know, Teague, you know, I we're not doing Sharp Tierney anymore because it's just not enough games, although we'll certainly make our picks in, you know, without the theatrics and the pre-produced stuff. We'll tell you who we think is going to win, and I'll tell you who I think is going to cover. But the one thing that jumped out to me right away when I looked at these spreads, like, I don't understand, I don't agree that the Chiefs are 10-point favorites.
No, they haven't played that well enough, I think, over the last couple of weeks to be a 10-point favorite over the Browns, who have taken care of business against the Steelers. Now, I think the Week 17 game, you know, gave you a little bit of pause because the Steelers didn't play anybody, and they almost lost that game. But I think the wild card round, yes, I know there were mistakes. The first play of the game was a bad snap by Pouncey that resulted in a touchdown for the Browns. But at the end of the day, they forced those other ones. You know what I mean? They forced the interceptions on Ben Roethlisberger. They were aggressive and opportunistic on defense and didn't make any mistakes. They had no turnovers and I think only like 4 or 5 penalties on offense. So I think the Browns are feeling themselves, and to – like give them 10, that's a lot in a playoff game. And I know that the Chiefs are the Chiefs and it's Pat Mahomes.
Are they though? That's what we need to investigate. Are they really the Chiefs, at least the Chiefs team we knew from last year?
It just depends on how they get played. So if you're going to be aggressive against the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to get beat, right? Because they're going to outscore you. They're going to find their matchup. Whoever you leave open or in man coverage, whether it's Sammy Watkins or Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, or Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield, if you leave somebody open because you're trying to put extra pressure, Pat Mahomes is smart enough to burn you. But teams have gotten smart about not doing that. They take their shots here and there at going after him, but for the most part, they make him dink and dunk. Mm-hmm. And as a result, what I think happens is that they get impatient a little bit. Right, they're used to making all these big plays, and then when they're not there, and you got to settle for, all right, let me just scramble for 3 yards and get out of bounds here, or you know, let me take this this check down and we'll get 6 yards as opposed to going, you know, 50 or 40 yards on one of these plays. It takes more patience for them, and that's why they feel vulnerable, even though I think they're too good of a team to lose in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Like, you mean they're not going to lose or lose ugly?
Lose ugly. Like, make mistakes because they're impatient. You know what I
agree
mean?
With that.
They're not going to do that. Like, they could lose for sure, but they're not going to lose by, you know, forcing balls into, you know, double coverage. Like, you're not going to see that because Pat Mahomes is smarter than that.
They're not going to self-destruct.
Yes, exactly.
Totally agree. And by the way, this isn't obviously all about the point spreads. That just jumped out to me, and I'm like, 10 points? Wow, I'm going to take the 10. You know, and, you know, the way the Browns play, you know, they run the ball as well as anybody, play action. Baker's been making plays. He's had a terrific season, revitalized with Stefanski. And I look at, and this, to be fair, this is a little bit of a dangerous game to play. And I've said this before on the show. When you look to the aesthetics of a win too much, and you like, if the aesthetics are not overly appealing or convincing, we have a tendency to maybe unfairly or penalize or overreact to an ugly win. It's still a win, man. It's still the NFL.
Yep.
But there has been some evidence this year, whether it was the Raiders game where they gave up a 40 spot. That was their first loss of the season. That was a Sunday night game. First game in, definitely a Sunday night game. The game when, you know, they gave up 30-plus to Carolina. All right before the bye week. You know, they still won, but it was, you know, 33-31. They gave up 31 off the bye against Vegas again. And they gave up almost 30 at Miami, and Miami's a pretty pedestrian offense, as we know. You know, they gave the last game doesn't count. They gave up 38 because nobody played, really. But there's some evidence where if they're not ready to play, and we saw this a few times last year where they fell down big, you get the sense that the Browns will be able to thwart a rally, unlike the other teams from last year.
Hey, look, let's go off of the stats and what we know, and just stick to what I think has kind of carried the Browns, especially if you're a Browns fan. Hasn't it felt like this season has just been fated to go the right way for them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, go ahead.
It just feels like everything that could have gone wrong for them went wrong for them. Yet they still found a way to push through, and they won 11 games. I mean, they had Odell Beckham Jr., who early in the season, you know, wasn't getting many, you know, catches, and it got a little contentious. Like, oh, what's going to happen? All of a sudden, they explode, and he has this amazing game. It's like, all right, the Browns have found themselves. Then he gets hurt with his knee, ACL. He had ACL, right? I think it was ACL. Was it Achilles or ACL? I think it was ACL. I think it was knee. I can't remember off the top of my head now because it was so long ago. But whatever it is, he becomes unavailable, and it's like, oh, dude, they lost their guy. And then Jarvis Landry ends up having an all-pro season in his stead, and they pick up the slack with other places, and defensively they play well. Then they get COVID, and it's like, oh, they don't practice for 2 weeks, and they got to win games at the end of the season to make it to the postseason. All that being said, it happens, and they still made it. And Baker Mayfield turned into, you know, a stabilized leader for this team. So it's almost like they face so much adversity. Well, let's rewind. They face so much expectation, and this even goes back to last year, but so much expectation, and then kind of were missing it because they got blown out by the Steelers. Remember this? They got beat bad by the Ravens, and then it's like, oh, here we go again. Mm-hmm. But then they overcame that. Then they had the injury to OBJ. Then they overcame that. Then they had COVID. Then they overcame that. It's almost like they're overcoming everything. So this insurmountable mountain of the defending Super Bowl champions in the Kansas City Chiefs, it's just another obstacle that they got to overcome. I almost feel that for them. And I don't want to. I'm not saying I'm hoping that they win, but I'm not going to be surprised at all if they find some way to beat this team, despite being a massive underdog at 10 in the divisional round of the postseason.
Teak, I'm right there with you, man. I wouldn't be remotely surprised. I would be surprised. Well, I'm going to frame the game. I think that there's only three outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Browns win a tight one.
Yep.
The Chiefs win going away, and I wouldn't bet on that, but I'll give that a little credence. The Chiefs win a tight one, which is far more plausible than the last one. I don't see, under any scenario, the Browns blowing out the Chiefs.
No.
That one I definitely don't see.
Yeah, I can't see that
either. But I think we get a four-quarter game for sure, and I can't possibly quantify this, but while the Chiefs are better than the Steelers, everybody knows that, there's something to be said for rolling into your arch nemesis's house, even though the house is empty, and smacking them and tying a playoff record with the 70-something, 72 Raiders, I think, where you scored 28 points in a quarter, as they did to jump out 28-zip. And suddenly going to Arrowhead and playing the defending world champions does not seem nearly as daunting, even though Kansas City's clearly better, because the real internal obstacle, the mental obstacle, was the Steelers.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the team that they hadn't beat, what was it, 17 straight times they had lost.
In Pittsburgh.
And in Pittsburgh, in Heinz Field. 17. Yeah. Think about it. That's like, I mean, that's, there's some kids.
It's 17 straight seasons.
I know. It's some kids that just never, that are Browns fans, that never saw them win in Heinz Field, which is crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, you're right. So they got over that mental obstacle. Oh, and I forgot to mention, they didn't have their head coach last weekend.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I feel like there's just it's a little bit of an emotional edge that the Browns have right now. They're heightened. They are acutely aware of everything. They've been through this adversity, the ups and downs of this season, and come through with only five losses. You know, the Jets loss was confounding, but we all know why that happened, because they didn't have any wide receivers in that game.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the Ravens, who were really good, obviously, early in the season. They got blown out, and they lost again, but that's when the Ravens were playing great football. And that second game that they lost to the Ravens, BT, it was by five. You know what I mean? It was a game. It was a shootout. So they got better as the season went on. And, you know, when you look at the Chiefs on the other side, the Chiefs know that they're good. And sometimes that's dangerous when you know that, and especially when you start, not that they're doing this, but how can you not? You know that you're a huge favorite. You know what I mean? You know that we're supposed to beat the Browns. We're supposed to beat them by two scores. We're the defending Super Bowl champions. We have the, you know, highest paid best player in the NFL and Pat Mahomes. They're coming to our house. We're supposed to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be complacent, because Andy Reid's too good of a coach like that. But if they have a slow start, I'm not going to be surprised by that for sure.
What is the... You know, because again, Mahomes only threw six picks this year, but three of them came in mid-December against the Dolphins. You know, one of them came in his last game against the Falcons, his last game of the season. So in the span of three games, he threw four picks. But as I've said a few times on the show, nobody threw more, I'm not sure if this is the proper way to frame it, but turnover-worthy balls, for lack of a better description, than Patrick Mahomes this year.
Yeah.
He had a lot dropped. It was
very
lucky.
That's right.
What have you noticed, if anything, from Mahomes that is, I don't want to say off, but it's just a little less dynamic?
Yeah, well, I mean, and again, not only because I'm obsessed with this these days, but just looking at his PFF grades, these last 3 weeks, he hasn't been good, man, really at all. You know, they're passable, winnable grades, and they've obviously won those games, but it's not like he was, you know, scoring 90s on these pass grades. I think what the big difference is that Pat Mahomes knows that he can get away with mistakes, right? I'm trying to think of an example. Let's say Daniel Jones. Let's say it's because he's my quarterback and I don't mind picking on him. Mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, you know, makes a mistake of reading a defense and he lets the ball go late. I mean, it's going the other way and it's devastating. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen, because Sterling Shepard or whoever it may be is not going to make a play on the ball and it's going to get, you know, picked off, right? Pat Mahomes has such good talent around him that he can afford to take risk and know that he can get away with them sometimes. And I think you started to see that down the stretch. Let's also not forget, defensive coordinators aren't stupid. You know what I mean? They're not going to just sit in film study and be like, all right, we can't stop it. We guess we just have to accept that he's going to do this to us. Right? They devise different ways to confuse and confound him a little bit and make him really have to think. And so it's a chess match that sometimes he doesn't win. And some of these good teams down the stretch, they were able to do that. New Orleans is a good team, right? You know, Atlanta played them really well down the stretch and caused some of those turnovers that you were talking about, BT. So I think it's part him, thinking he can get away, you know, with mistakes. But I think it's also defenses are just a little bit catching up. You know, it's just that's what happens over time.
Mm-hmm. We're going to finish up with Brady and Breeze next segment. That's the only way to finish up this week, obviously, with those two legends getting ready to hammer it out coming up on Sunday, 6:40 Eastern. But from the Browns' point of view, while you and I, just to kind of flip it back to them for a second,
yeah,
the expectation is from both Teak and I that this will be a four-quarter game. Browns have a real chance to win. Wouldn't be surprised if they do. If it's an ugly performance, how should we feel about the Browns, and how should their fans feel moving into the future? If it's an ugly one.
Yeah, if it's like really ugly, like mistake
after
mistake.
Let's say if it's 40-21.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed, but not discouraged,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. So disappointed because they have a shot. I mean, they really have a shot to get to the AFC Championship game. And I know that's saying a lot because they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, but everything that we just talked about, there's just this intangible that exists with them that you can't ignore, right? And so disappointed, but you know, I think they would rebound really quickly, the fans.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too, and I totally agree with that. And we don't really factor this in on this side of the equation. We do on one side, when you talk about young quarterbacks going through multiple coordinators, multiple systems, we know how that derails a young player.
Yep.
But it's obvious to expect even more growth from Baker in the offense next year, because now it's year two for Stefanski.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, a whole offseason, an actual offseason?
Yeah.
With Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt and, you know, Baker getting more and more comfortable and him turning into that guy that we saw at Oklahoma who knew exactly what he was doing on every play, and he was making things happen. I can see that finally coming to the fore for Baker after a couple of years of some fits and starts and some ups and some downs. But I'm starting to like Baker like I originally thought I would like him.
I agree with you.
When he was a rookie.
We're coming back to our original position. We saw the moxie right away. Remember when he came in for Tyrod Taylor against my Jets,
mm-hmm.
we talked about this. Like, the first throw was the dart. The entire energy changed in the building. They opened up. Remember, they were giving out the beers for their first win.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like, the whole dynamic changed, and he just had an easy bounce. Like, you could tell that wasn't like some manufactured confidence. Like, he mm-hmm. just, he kind of bounced naturally, and guys, you know, that resonates with young players. And then, you know, things got derailed, whatever, a couple different coaches, blah, blah, blah. And then we kind of soured on him, and rightfully so. And then all of a sudden, you started to see the maturation and the growth, and we're right back to where we were when the Browns took him. Now, to be fair, I don't know that you and I were absolutely locked into Baker as the first overall pick.
No.
A little smallish.
Yeah.
Josh Allen was somewhat unknown. Darnold was thought to be in real play for the Browns at number one. But once we saw him actually get some professional reps, we're like, all right, this obviously isn't Johnny Manziel part two.
Yeah, agreed.
You know? All right. Well, let's get to this coming up next year. You know, we kind of take this stuff for granted here. Brady's 43, Breeze is 42, and as they get ready to play for the right to go to the conference championship coming up this Sunday at the Superdome, do we need to maybe adjust our expectations for the quarterback position and the ability to sustain greatness for a much longer time? Just, you know, play more, play deeper into your 30s and certainly into your 40s. Is this the new thing in the NFL? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. This is called the OG segment. Welcome back. It's the OG segment here on Tiki and Tierney. Ready to let it rip with our boy Brady and our guy Breeze. It is the OG segment. Now, the difference is...
Oh, wait, you know, by the way, happy birthday to Drew Brees. Isn't his birthday today?
Oh, boy, that's going to make it even worse. Is today's birthday?
I think today is his actual birthday.
It's your birthday.
Drew Brees. He's 43 years old.
And he's starting to look it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Brady doesn't. Brees does.
Oh, 42, more. I mean. 42.
42.
I mean.
Okay.
And Brady, obviously, is 43.
Yep, Tom's 43.
Collective age, 85.
Oh, my good God. That's lunacy right there. So what's starting to happen now is we're deprogramming how we view the quarterback. But we're rebooting.
Yeah,
and we're starting to, right? We're starting to view this through a bit of a different prism. And it's funny because when we talk about, like, the coaching spots and what the a team like the Falcons might do. Well, the Falcons are picking fourth, and, you know, Matt Ryan's approaching his mid-30s. Maybe it's time to move on. I mean, Matt Ryan's straight up young compared to these guys. Is this, are these two gentlemen just extra special, which I know talent-wise in the mind they are, but based on their ability to thwart Father Time for a little bit longer than quarterbacks of the past, is this a new era where, yeah. I mean, Phillip Rivers might come back and play next year.
Yeah, no, I think it's the latter, BT. I think it's the new era of how these guys are staying healthy and taking care of themselves. And, you know, you see it not – so let's just move outside of the football field. Look at, like, older men now, you know, how they take care of themselves and how they still work out and, you know, how they're living longer and – you know, they're finding gyms and there's at home, like the Pelotons or iFit or whatever it may be that you can do at home. Like, it's all these things that are now exploding personal fitness. Mm-hmm. And you got to believe that a professional athlete has that times whatever, 100, you know what I mean? Because they have the resources, the money. What was it? LeBron James said he spent $1 million on his body. A year, he basically said last year, you know, you get massage therapy, there's different, you know, cryotherapies. There's like all this stuff that you can do now to keep yourself healthy and young. And that's not even counting the surgeries, like surgical, like you used to tear your ACL. I think we had this conversation like a month ago or 2 months ago. You used to tear your ACL and it's like, uh-oh, he said, that's 18 months. Like, I remember specifically saying, dude, you're going to be out for 18 months when I was in my first, you know, 3 or 4 years, guy tears his ACL, Jason Sehorn, right? Oh, man, that's 18 months. He came back in like 15 because he's a freak. But most people, it's now like 8 months. You tear your ACL, you're not even out of commission for a year.
For sure.
So all of everything has advanced from, you know, surgical to, you know, lifting and techniques and all those other things. And so, yeah, I think quarterbacks are smarter. They're taking better care of their bodies. And also, you cannot touch them, BT. They can't get hit. You know what I mean?
They can't.
You hit them low because you tripped or, you know, the tackle pulled you down. You hit them low, penalty. You hit them high, anywhere around the neck or in the head, penalty. You sacked them legitimately and you fall on top of them, penalty, right? Like, you can't do anything for quarterbacks so they're not getting hit. So yeah, they're going to play a lot longer, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this as the years go on. BT.
Yeah, no, I think your instincts are right, and I don't really remember off the top of my head, like in the 80s. You know, was Dan Marino playing all the preseason games?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you sure? I think he might have been.
I don't,
which would only further reinforce what you just said, because it's fewer, it's less action.
Yeah,
I don't think Dan Marino played one game in like 1987.
It's impossible. It's impossible to like judge, like find it, because you can't find the stats on those things. But I don't even remember. But the other thing though, BT, you gotta remember is that, you know, not only are these quarterbacks playing, you know, have all these things that we just mentioned, like the health and the surgeries and et cetera. They're also like athletes now. Right? It used to be you get a quarterback and it's like, dude is a stationary. Dude can't move, man. He looks the part, but he can't move. He's not an athlete. Now you add athleticism into this equation. Mm-hmm. These guys could really play for a long time. And if Tom Brady, who was not an athlete, is playing 43. Think about what Pat Mahomes can do. I mean, that's why you give him a 10-year, $500 million contract. It's because you know that, you know, all things, you know, knocking on wood, all things remaining equal with the trajectory of his career, he's going to play till he's 38 or 40 easily. You know what I mean? And maybe even longer than that if he stays healthy and really wants to keep doing it.
The only thing that would give me a little pause, and again, I'm with you. I think that you're definitely right, but the college kids coming in,
yeah,
are so much more equipped to play right away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have some guys aging out, there's much more of a database, if you will, to reach into and take somebody to transition away from a guy who's aging. Unlike years past where, yeah, they're not as polished. They're going to take forever to get ready. I mean, there's only Peyton Manning's like one of a handful of players who came in, and he threw a ton of picks as a rookie, but
yeah.
You know, you knew he was going to be good, so threw a lot of touchdowns. You know, back in the day, you know, these guys sat, you know, for the first couple of years, whereas now they're getting the football week one, and it just seems like every year, like this year, we got Trevor Lawrence, we got Justin Fields, we have Zach Wilson, we have Mac Jones probably going back into the first round.
Yeah.
You know, we've got...
So easier to supplant them, you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
So while I agree that the veterans...
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah. There's just a deeper well to reach into if you're so inclined to try.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Unless someone is elite like Tom Brady and just continually winning. So let's say Pat Mahomes gets the Kansas City Chiefs into the postseason and deep into the postseason into the Super Bowl, you know, six times out of the next 14 years or whatever it may be. Like, are you going to replace him when he's 41? You know what I mean? That's what's going to be hard to do. And so unless the guy is winning like Brady, I think your instinct is right. If he gets to a point where it's like, okay, he's good still, but we're not winning, let's go somewhere else. That's what's going to push guys out. It's not going to be health any longer.
Oh man, this is going to be some weekend here. I like to look at the order of the games, and if I had to change anything up, like
how they're presented this week?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Let's see. I've got a St. John's game at noon. It was actually at 2. It's been moved up a little bit, so that whatever. So I've got to do that, which would be fun. And then we've got a little batting practice session at the cage, and I'll just DVR the start of the Rams-Packers. Would I rather watch Rams? See, the Packers feels like a night game, but it's not.
Yep.
And I certainly want to watch Bills and the Ravens in prime time, so... boy, which would I rather watch in primetime? I think of the two, I'd probably rather watch Ravens and Bills in primetime.
Yeah, I did.
I really would.
Look, I think that's the game of the weekend. Just like I thought last week with the Ravens and the Titans was going to be a great game. It wasn't like this explosive game that I think, you know, some people were expecting, but it was really entertaining how they beat each other up. And more importantly, how Lamar Jackson ended up taking – you know, that monkey that, you know, it's a little tiny monkey because he's only been in the league for 3 years and threw it off of his back and moved forward. But yeah, I'm glad that the Ravens Bills is in the evening because I think it's going to make for the weather and the,
yeah,
the cold,
the backdrop.
I think
the Bills fans.
Yeah, Bills fans. I think they did that one right. I almost kind of want to see the Packers in that same type of situation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's a little tricky on Saturday.
Yeah, but I don't know about the Rams, though. You know, the Rams, I kind of like, I don't know, it's whatever reason. Maybe it's because of the history of the Rams.
I've been more bullish on the Rams this year, but the Rams are capable, given their offense.
Yeah.
If there's a breakdown defensively or two, you know, I it's not inconceivable to see the Rams fall behind 17-3.
Yeah, agreed.
Quickly. You know what I mean? Yeah. That changes everything.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying that that's going to happen. I actually think the Rams probably covered the number two, although I'm not loving that pick. I might stay away from that. But at first glance, I do. Because, listen, I've been riding the Rams all year. I told you they'd win in Seattle. I picked them to win. I like them. Are they going to generate enough offense?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Jared Goff is still jacked up with his hand.
He is.
I almost would rather see Wofford, but because I was excited to watch him.
Can they acquire the kid from Washington in the next day?
Yeah, can you trade for Heineke?
I love that kid. I want to see him play again.
Yeah.
All right, Teague. Let's get the update here for Mac. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast and give you our final predictions for the games for the divisional round. Axe update right now. All right. Good show. Great show. What are selling ourselves short? Great show. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Teague, before we get to the blast and give you our predictions officially for the divisional round, let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. And it's brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, and it's a good one, it's a timely one, topical one, pertains to the coaching carousel. And it's from Glenn, who is stationed down in Atlanta, Georgia. And Glenn writes, all right, guys, the Jets, Falcons, and Jags seem like they've, and the Lions jobs are all set. What's the best job remaining? The Texans, the Chargers, or the Eagles?
I'm going to say the Chargers. I think the Chargers are
one.
Yeah, I mean, they get the defensive, if they are all are healthy on that side of the ball. And then Justin Herbert, man, you get a great young quarterback to build around very, very easy. And now with all the nonsense with Eric Bieniemy, I hope he gets that job so he can have success right away.
No, I'm with you. You can make the case. Now, the Jaguars' job is incredibly appealing because of Trevor Lawrence and, and other reasons, too. But you could have made the case that the Chargers was the best job of all seven.
Yeah,
going
that's right.
In.
Yeah, that's right, because they're set.
Which we did make that point,
they have,
really.
They have a good – Keenan Allen's not – he's not done, so he's really still good.
Far from it.
You got Eckler as a running back. If he can stay healthy, he's not like a superstar, but he's very serviceable and versatile.
Hunter Henry's a really good tight end.
That's exactly right, man.
Yeah.
That's a good job.
I
it
agree
really
with
is.
You.
And they should have won at least four more games than they did. It was just mismanaged, and they couldn't figure out how to finish games, and that's what ultimately cost Anthony Lynn his job.
Yeah, that's why they're looking for a coach. That's happened too often out there in L.A. You know, so the Jets get Salah, the Falcons with Arthur Smith. I think that's a really good hire.
Yeah.
I like Arthur
Smith. By the way,
that
came that became official.
Yes.
About, 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago?
Just about. The Jags, we know about Urban, and the Lions are seemingly set, though I don't believe this is official yet, with Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I don't think he can actually...
Oh, that's right, because the Saints are, that's right.
They're still playing. He can't actually get in for the second, whatever, the finalizing interview and doing the contract. They can't do that yet because he's still playing.
That's correct.
But Dan's awesome. You know, you guys know I played with Dan. So.
Well, we had him on the show when he took over as the interim.
That's right, for
and
the Dolphins.
Of course, you guys were teammates. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I like Campbell. I like him.
He is awesome, man. He's that old school football coach who I don't want to say you're scared of, but you look at him and he's big, he's imposing, he's always got a chew in his mouth, and you're like,
oh, nice.
Dude, I want to run through a wall for this dude.
Yeah.
I love Dan Campbell. Love him.
You've raved about him. And, you know, of all the hirings, and we're going to get to the blast here, but of all the hirings, there hasn't been one where I've scratched my head, honestly.
No, the only thing I'm scratching my head about, BT, is Bieniemy. Like, why hasn't he gotten a shot?
Yes, obviously that's a theme until it's not.
But other than that, I can't say, oh yeah, the Falcons should have hired Bieniemy over Arthur Smith. Nope, that was the right hire. I can't say the Jaguars should have hired Bieniemy over Urban Meyer. Nope, that was the right hire. I can't say the Jets should have hired Bieniemy over Salah. That was the right hire. I mean, they've all been right.
They all won't be right. That's just the nature of the hiring process.
True.
But they feel right.
True. I don't know. We talked about this in the first segment, BT.
Yeah.
There is a significant shift away from I got to hire an offensive or defensive guru. We are not seeing that right now.
Yeah,
and I love that because it's less important than finding the guy who's a leader of men, not just to the guys in the locker room, but like the coaching staff. Right? I harp on this, and I've been harping on this for years with you, BT. If you can't hire a guy who can't build a staff, and the only reason I know this intimately is because when Jim Fossil, who I love to death, Fossil lost John Fox when he left to become the head coach of the Panthers, he couldn't replace him. Right, and we ended up having a defensive coordinator who was unprepared for the position.
Who was that again? Why am I
Johnny Lynn?
Johnny Lynn. Yep.
We had a really good season, but it cost us in the postseason. Remember, that was the 2002 year when we went to the Niners and lost in the wild card game.
Yep.
We didn't know how to stop T.O. and we were up by 24 points.
You guys were up three scores.
24 points. He kept playing man coverage with Jason Sehorn on T.O. And I'm like, Jason's a man, but come on.
Yeah. Not at that point with T.O.
That's right.
And
it wasn't just the defense. I mean, offensively, all we needed to do was score one more time. We couldn't.
Yeah, Shockey dropped a touchdown pass.
It was on us as well, but my point is, like, being able to find that great guy, coordinator, defensive back coach, offensive line coach, if you can't pull that, then it's really hard to be a successful head coach.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So
I didn't realize we were still in that.
It was a great encapsulation of the coaching search. It's all good. You ready to hit the blast? See what we got?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, we mentioned that DJ LeMahieu got the 6 years, 90 from the Yanks. I just saw that Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers strike a deal. So they avoid arbitration, 1 year, $16 million.
So did Aaron Judge.
So did Judge. Judge got a raise too. Yep, yep. I don't have the numbers on Judge, but I know Bellinger's.
I think Bellinger's, it's 10-7 or something like that.
That's more than fair for your number two hitter who's going to hit 50 bombs if he's healthy. Yep. And a very good right fielder. All right, Teague. So we get to the blast here, if I can find it. All right, so the Jaguars' vital Lot J proposal, I brought this up yesterday, was voted down in Jacksonville, which paves the way for owner Shad Khan to look to move the team elsewhere. Now with Lawrence and Urban Meyer, could you see the Jags playing elsewhere? And if so, where?
I mean, I'm going to say no. I don't see them moving elsewhere. But the only
can't
place...
Leave Duval.
What's it? Yeah,
can't
well,
leave Duval County?
I would say no.
Yeah.
But if they did, could they go back to San Diego?
Oh, God, we're going to go through that again?
I doubt it, because they were not going to get the money for the stadium either, I can't see them moving, because I don't know where they would go.
Let
That's
me help you out, partner. I could. You ready?
Go ahead.
London.
I kind of forgot about that, dude. We had a season without London games.
Yes.
I completely forgot about it.
That's why we were a team. Well, you forget, I pick up. What I forget, you pick up. So
I do need to go back to London. Tracy and I want to go, but so bad, take a trip. Sans kids.
Oh, God, our good friends just moved there. So
really?
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Oh,
good friend. Yeah, they were. And that is on the agenda for sure. That's on the itinerary whenever people can start moving around freely and start getting back to our life, which would be nice.
Vaccine.
Yeah, I hear you. By the way, I wonder if Urban Meyer has it in his contract. Like, if you guys go to London, I'm out. I mean, sure, he's got every out in his contract imaginable.
It's a good question.
But we'll have to follow that. I think they stay in Jacksonville or go to London. I do not see them relocating within the United States. All right, so after D-Cell's Hurricanes gave up 27 points a game this season, which in college isn't terrible, I guess. Modern college, not terrible. Head coach and former D.C. Manny Diaz now going to call the defensive plays. Is this ever a wise decision for a college coach? I don't love it. Maybe somebody who knows a little bit more about this can persuade me. I don't love it as a general thought. But specific to the Canes, what do you think, T?
So this is interesting. So the Canes just hired a new defensive back coach. You got to follow me here for a second.
I got you. I'm listening.
They just hired a new defensive back coach, and I can't remember his name. I'm trying to find it because Berkowitz sent it to me. But essentially, they told their defensive coordinator, it would probably be best if you look for employment elsewhere.
Okay. Message received.
Message received. So Manny Diaz is, I put this in quotes, taking over the play calling as an incentive to force his current Blake Baker, to force his defensive coordinator to move. This is Baker to move elsewhere. Go find another job. Okay. Honestly, BT, I think it's a good move by Manny Diaz because they're helping him save face, so they're not firing him, right? But Manny's saying, "I'm taking over the play calling, Baker. You're disempowered right now. Go find another job." And as soon as he leaves, they're going to elevate this defensive coordinator.
So Manny won't be calling the defense.
He won't be, but they.
But
they,
it just they, seems like that way now.
They did that just to for optics.
Got, that's a, I did not.
That's
know that.
That's my take on that's my take on this.
Okay, gotcha. The Heat dropped both games of a home-at-home this week with Philly. They're now 4-6 on the season. How concerned should we be about Miami moving forward, T?
Pretty concerned, BT. I mean, we thought that, you know, Jimmy Butler and this squad was going to be able to take the momentum that they built in the bubble and grow from it. But it seems like that momentum was their best shot, and that bubble explosion we saw was their best shot, and they're actually a little bit of a flawed team, and it's now coming to the fore. The problem is that their superstar and Jimmy Butler is not like an elite scorer. In today's NBA, if you don't have that guy, you're going to struggle night in and night out. I mean, you might be able to get into a 7-game series and cause some difficulties, but like on a night-to-night basis, you're going to struggle.
Listen, we are looking at this through the wrong lens. Because as I said many times on the show, there was an obvious, and I give them massive credit because they were a great franchise, but obvious overachievement a year ago.
Yeah.
If they would have been bounced in the playoffs where, you know, some of us maybe thought that they would have been, we wouldn't even flinch at a 4-6 start because it's only 10 games, even though it's only 72-game season. Yeah, they haven't really beaten anybody. They beat Milwaukee, which is nice, but they beat the Wizards, who are a mess. They beat a young New Orleans team early. They beat Oklahoma City, who's not very talented. So they do have four wins, and only one's been against a really good team. So concerned, they're not going to replicate last year. So I'm actually not concerned because I knew that coming in.
Yeah.
Step on Tiki. That's right. Buzz him. Buzz him,
D-Cell. I snuck it in. I got it in before the buzzer.
Portland big man, Josef Nurkic. This guy's always hurt. Suffered a fractured right wrist. Right wrist. In Portland's loss to the Pacers last night. Now, if he misses a lot of time here, how does it change our view on the Blazers, if at all? I mean, you know, listen, I told you the other day, I think that the Blazers are a mid-level, you know, five-seed-ish, top-end, four-seed-ish, but that seems ambitious, lower-end, seven-seed-ish, and whomever they play in whatever round, they're going to be a threat because Damian Lillard could drop 60. McCollum's a beast, and they've got some talent. They can make a trade, too. But they're tier two, so they're not a real threat to win anything.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, BT, and they're the type of team. And this has happened, like, too many times.
Yeah, he got hurt last year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. It's happened. I don't want to say he's unreliable because that's just a knock on a really good player, but they're the type of team that needs to hang around. But the problem is they're going to hang around just enough to be the seventh seed or the eighth seed. And then they're going to face up against the Lakers who are going to destroy them or the Clippers who are going to destroy them. And they're not going to get a chance because they spend the whole regular season just hanging around. It's got to be frustrating. But does it change my view? No, I think they're right where I thought they would be because I think they still need one other piece and they don't quite have it. This just adds some more complications to their regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, we got about 50 seconds. Let's plow through it. Rams, Packers. You know, I was thinking about maybe having the Rams
pack.
Cover.
Give the pack.
Yep, I'm with you. Pack wins, pack covers.
Yeah, I think they do.
Agreed. I got the Ravens beating the Bills straight up.
I do
up.
Too, bro. Straight up. I do. Too. Bills haven't played great down the stretch, man. And look, they didn't play well against the Indianapolis Colts, and they gave up a lot of yards.
Well, their offense has been playing great.
Yes, but I'm talking about defensively.
I do think the Ravens find a way to win this game. I've got the Chiefs, but I think it's tight, and I like the Browns getting the 10 spot on Sunday.
No doubt. No doubt. Take the 10, but take the Chiefs.
Okay. And I'm gonna
don't be surprised if the Browns win.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to take the health. I think the Bucks are going to win.
Bucks.
Forget about the three. I'm going to take the Bucks on the money line.
Bucks. Take the Bucks.
I think the Bucks win going away.
They're playing better, BT. At the end of the day, it comes down to who's playing better?
Exactly.
It's the Bucks.
Dude, great
Enjoy
week.
It, brother.
Great show. Enjoy it. I'll catch you Monday, Teague.
Yep. Be good, bro.
You got it, man. Everybody out there, have a great weekend. Safe, sensible, sane. Peace. We'll see
you. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.